There are years that ask questions and years that answer. Jenny had had no chance to know things, so she had to ask. Did marriage end the cosmic loneliness of the unmated? Did marriage compel love like the sun the day? In the few days to live before she went to Logan Killick's and his often mentioned 60 acres, Janie asked inside of herself and out. She was back and forth to the pear tree, continuously wondering and thinking. Finally, out of Nanny's talk and her own conjectures, she made a sort of comfort for herself. Yes, she would love Logan after they were married. She could see no way for it to come about, but Nanny and the old folks had said it, so it must be so. Husbands and wives always loved each other, and that was what marriage meant. It was just so. Janie felt glad of the thought, for then it wouldn't seem so destructive and moldy. She wouldn't be lonely anymore. Janie and Logan got married in Nanny's parlor of a Saturday evening with three cakes and big platters of fried rabbit and chicken, everything to eat in abundance. Nanny and Mrs. Washburn had seen to that, but nobody put anything on the seat of Logan's wagon to make it ride glorious on the way to his house. It was a lonesome place, like a stump in the middle of the woods where nobody had ever been. The house was absent of flavor, too. But anyhow, Janie went on inside to wait for love to begin. The new moon had been up and down three times before she got worried in mind. Then she went to see Nanny in Mrs. Washburn's kitchen on the day for beaten biscuits. Nanny beamed all out with gladness and made her come up to the breadboard so she could kiss her. "Lord of mercy, honey, I sure is glad to see my child. Go on inside and let Miss Washburn know you's here. How is that husband of yourn?" Janie didn't go in where Mrs. Washburn was. She didn't say anything to match up with Nanny's gladness either. She just fell on a chair with her hips and sat there. Between the biscuits and her beaming pride, Nanny didn't notice for a minute. But after a while, she found the conversation getting lonesome, so she looked up at Janie. "What's the matter, sugar? You ain't none too spry this morning."
"Oh, nothing much, I reckon. I come to get a little information from you."
The old woman looked amazed, then gave a big clatter of laughter. "Don't tell me you done got knocked up already. Let's see, this Saturday is 2 months and 2 weeks."
"No, I don't think so anyhow."
Janie blushed a little. "Well, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of, honey. You's a married woman. You got your lawful husband, same as Miss Washburn, anybody else."
"I'm all right that way. I know there ain't nothing there."
"You and Logan been fussing? Lord, I know that grass-cut, liver-lipped nigga ain't done took and beat my baby already. I'd take a stick and salivate him."
"No, he ain't even talked about hitting me. He says he never mean to lay the weight of his hand on me in malice. He chops all the wood he think I wants, and then he totes it inside the kitchen for me. Keeps both water buckets full."
"Don't expect all that to keep up. He ain't kissing your mouth when he carry on over you like that. He kissing your foot, and 'tain't in a man to kiss foot long. Mouth kissing is on an equal, and that's natural. But when they got to bow down to love, they soon straightens up."
"Yes."
"Well, if he do all that, what you come in here with face long as my arm for?
'Cause you told me I must gonna love him, and I don't. Maybe if somebody was to tell me how, I could do it.
You come in with your mouth full of foolishness on a busy day. Here you got a prop to lean on all your bone days and big protection, and everybody got to tip their hat to you and call you Ms. Killicks, and you come worrying me about love.
But Nanny, I wants to want him sometimes. I don't want him to do all the wanting."
"If you don't want him, you show order.
here you is with the onlyest organ in town amongst colored folks in your parlor. Got a house bought and paid for and 60 acres of land right on the big road. And Lord have mercy, that's the very prong all us black women gets hung on, this love. That's just what's got us a-pulling and a-hauling and sweating and doing from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. That's how come the old folks say that being a fool don't kill nobody. It just makes you sweat. I bet you want some dressed-up dude that got to look at the sole of his shoes every time he crossed the street to see whether he got enough leather there to make it across. You can buy and sell such as them with what you got. In fact, you can buy them and give them away. I ain't studying about none of them. At the same time, I ain't taking that old land to heart neither. I could throw 10 acres of it over the fence every day and never look back to see where it fell. I feel the same way about Mr. Killix, too. Some folks never was meant to be loved, and he's one of them. Well, how come? 'Cause I hate the way his head is so long one way and so flat on the sides, and that pone of fat back his neck. He never made his own head. You talk so silly. I don't care who made it. I don't like the job. His belly is too big, too, now. And his toenails look like mule foots. And tain't nothing in the way of him washing his feet every evening before he comes to bed. Tain't nothing to hinder him, 'cause I places the water for him. I'd rather be shot with tacks than to turn over in the bed and stir up the air whilst he's in there. He don't even never mention nothing pretty. She began to cry. I want things sweet with my marriage. Like when you sit under a pear tree and think. Tain't no use in you crying, Janie. Grandma done been along a few roads herself. But folks is meant to cry about something other. Better leave things the way they is. You's young yet. No telling what might happen before you die. Wait a while, baby. Your mind will change. Nanny sent Janie along with a stern mien. But she dwindled all the rest of the day as she worked. And when she gained the privacy of her own little shack, she stayed on her knees so long she forgot she was there herself. There is a basin in the mind where words float around on thought and thought on sound and sight. Then there is a depth of thought untouched by words, and deeper still, a gulf of formless feelings, untouched by thought. Nanny entered this infinity of conscious pain again on her old knees. Towards morning, she muttered, Lord, you know my heart. I've done the best I could do. The rest is left to you. She scuffled up from her knees and fell heavily across the bed. A month later, she was dead. So Janie waited a bloom time, and a green time, and an orange time. But when the pollen again gilded the sun and sifted down on the world, she began to stand around the gate and expect things. What things? She didn't know exactly. Her breath was gusty and short. She knew things that nobody had ever told her. For instance, the words of the trees and the wind. She often spoke to falling seeds and said, I hope you fall on soft ground. Because she had heard seeds saying that to each other as they passed. She knew the world was a stallion rolling in the blue pasture of ether. She knew that God tore down the old world every evening and built a new one by sunup. It was wonderful to see it take form with the sun and emerge from the gray dust of its making. The familiar people and things had failed her, so she hung over the gate and looked up the road towards way off. She knew now that marriage did not make love. Janie's first dream was dead, so she became a woman.